Hello, I'm Ron Friedman, and we're here with the master, known as Sant Darshan Singh, and we're going to discuss what your goals are and what you're doing here in the country, and how you're helping people. I guess the most important question would be, can we see God?
Yes, we can see God in this very lifetime.
Is there any proof to what you're saying?
Just as the proof of pudding is in the eating, the proof of spiritual attainment is in its experience. We can attain self-knowledge and God-realization through mystic experiences on the path of the masters. Once Ramakrishna Paramahansa was asked by his disciple, Vivekananda, "Father, have you seen God?" He replied, "Yes, my son, I have seen him as clearly as I see you." When God came into expression, it assumed two forms, the light of God and the music of the spheres. It is only through coming in contact with these two principles that we cannot only see God, but we can talk to Him face to face, get His guidance in all our affairs, and we can ultimately merge in Him.
What ways can we see God? What different forms have been seen in seeing God? How can we? What different ways has God been seen by different people, different examples?
You know, God has been seen by all saints and seers since the dawn of eternity. Guru Nanak says that I see my Lord before me. And other saints and seers have told us that they have seen God within. You know, God has seldom been seen in the various places of pilgrimage because God does not reside in temples made with human hands. He resides in a temple which He has made with His own hands, that is the human body. And human body is a real temple in which we can see God in all His effulgence.
There have been many books written about life after death experiences. What do you think about this?
The various books written about life after death, including Dr. Raymond Moody's book Life After Life, have emphasized the inevitability of death and continuance of our life after physical death. The recent revelation of these truths, though these books may have caused a stir in the West, but in reality our saints, seers and prophets all over the world have been talking about these truths since the dawn of eternity. They have been stressing the need of learning to die so that we may begin to live. And they have experienced death even many a time a day. They have been blessed with this experience by coming in contact with the revitalizing word, that is the light of God and the music of all harmonies. These divine gifts have been bestowed on them at the time of initiation through the grace and compassion of the living master of the time.
Do we have a need for such a living master?
Yes, certainly. A living master is one who has not only learned to die while living and has attained communion with the Almighty, but he is the one who can teach others the technique of dying while living, so that they can attain ultimate merger of soul with God. Sincere seekers after truth have to come to a perfect master to learn the above technique and reach their ultimate goal of self-knowledge and God-realization.
Speaking of God-realization, what does God look like?
God is formless. God is all light, all spins, all effulgence. So much so that even trillions of suns and moons put together cannot vie with even one hair of God. We can see God in His pristine glory, in the highest spiritual stage, since the highest spiritual realm is beyond the reach of mind and the intellect. Our tongue has not been authorized to describe it in clear terms. It is said by the saints and seers that in that stage we speak without a tongue, we see without eyes, we hear without ears, we walk without feet, and we work without hands. The actual working of that realm cannot be described in words, and all that has been said by the saints and seers is only a hazy estimate, a symbolic presentation. But one thing is there, that there is no language also, but there is only one language, and that language is language of love.
What is the purpose of meditation?
Although everyone in the world is searching for happiness, we find that everyone is suffering from pain, disappointment, and unhappiness. The transitory and material things in life cannot give us any lasting pleasure. Since the soul is a conscious entity and is of the same essence as of God, only a conscious contact with the divine essence which is within us all can give solace and peace of mind to us. We find that of late more and more people are looking for inner peace, a lasting peace. Meditation is the process of withdrawing our attention from the world and the senses and focusing it within to come in contact with the light and sound of God, which is the source of all love, all joy, all peace, and all bliss.
Continuing with the subject of meditation, there is a number of groups starting up, especially here in this country, practicing meditation, but not particularly with any scriptural background to it, just straight meditation. What is the difference between that form of meditation and a more spiritual meditation?
You know, most of the forms of meditation which are now being adopted, they relate to the yogic exercises. These exercises are needed for keeping our bodies spick and span, but they have no bearing on the elevation of the soul and its ultimate merger with Almighty, which is the be-all and end-all of the human life.
Master, what are the requirements for initiation?
All scriptures tell us we must lead an ethical life. Ethical life is a stepping stone to spirituality. Ethical life means a life of truth, love for all, chastity, humility, selfless service, and non-violence. Another requirement is the maintenance of a strict vegetarian diet. Abstinence from meat, fish, fowl, and eggs, both fertile and infertile. If we say we have love and compassion for all, how can we claim to be lovers of the entire creation of God and yet eat the dead bodies of animals which are served to us as food? Another requirement is the avoidance of all liquors and intoxicating drugs.
You were speaking before of keeping your body spick and span with meditation and exercise. Why are the reasons that alcohol and drugs are prohibited?
Now, spirituality is an awakening of the divine consciousness, which is within everyone. In order to take up the spiritual path, we have to become more conscious. By taking alcohol or drugs, instead of expanding our consciousness, we dull it. Spirituality is a path of freedom, but if we become addicted to alcohol and drugs, then where is our freedom? Anything which is habit-forming and which weakens our consciousness stands in the way of ultimate goal of our lives, which is to liberate our soul, a conscious entity, from the clutches of mind and matter. And once the soul shakes off these shackles, only then can it traverse into the higher regions and commune with God, who is all consciousness.
In order to follow this path you're talking about of the Masters, do we have to leave our families, our jobs, or even our worldly lives?
No. We do not have to leave the world and go into the mountains or the jungles to find God. This is not a path of negative mysticism. It is a path of positive mysticism. We are to remain in the world, but not be attached to it. We have to fulfill our worldly obligations, earn our own livelihood, and share with others. We do not have to leave our families. Marriage is no bar to spirituality if lived according to the scriptures. We find that many of the saints have their family life and they fulfill their obligations as householders. So the saints ask us to lead normal lives and practice self-discipline, ethical living, and meditation. This is what is needed. We must develop these qualities in order to move forward on the spiritual path.
So far as marriage is concerned, I've already stated that marriage is no bar to spirituality, provided we lead our married life according to the scriptures. And we have seen in history that the saints have had their family lives and they attended to all their household obligations. So far as the question of food is concerned, we do not debar anybody from eating, whatever has been given by nature into the in the form of vegetables, because if we on the one hand profess that we have love for all creation, how can on the other hand we agree to put to sword the animals and the birds and the fish? We say that Christ was the apostle of peace. He was for all non-violence. Christ and non-violence, they go together. And Christ said that if somebody gives you a slap on one cheek, offer to him the other cheek. If he were non-violent to this extent, naturally he couldn't have been violent to the creation of God, who is in the lowest rung of the ladder. I mean the animals, the birds, the fowl, and the fish, as well as the eggs. He was for universal love. He was for total nonviolence. And if we are for universal love and total nonviolence, then we shall not kill anyone. And even otherwise, it has come in the Holy Scripture, thou shalt not kill. And if we follow that golden principle of thou shalt not kill, then naturally you are taking meat, fowl, fish and birds along with the eggs, that goes out of question. So while adhering only to the diet relating to vegetables, we are strictly following the commandments of the apostle of peace, Christ, because he asked us not to indulge in any killing. He commanded that we should have love for all creation, and these two put together, along with the principle of nonviolence, will naturally debar us from eating any fish, fowl, meat, or eggs. It is strictly in conformity with the teachings of Christ, as well as other prophets and saints who have blessed this earth from time immemorial, that we stick only to the vegetarian diet. If we try to enter the field of biology, even then our point of sticking to the vegetarian diet is achieved. Because talking now in purely in terms of biology, we know that vegetables, they contain the least of the elements. The birds comparatively have a larger element, larger number of elements in them, And the beasts, the animals, they have still a larger number of elements. Man has all the five elements. The buffaloes and cows, quadrupeds, they have four elements. The birds have three elements. The various insects have two elements, and the vegetables have only one element. So if we are to live in this world, then keeping you the point of non-violence, let us try to live with the least possible destruction of life, with the least possible destruction of elements, and for that angle also, if we restrict our diet to vegetables, which consists of only one element, we will be doing much better than destroying the three elements in birds or four elements in carbs. So, even from that angle, leading a vegetarian life will entail much less sin than going to the other species for the purpose of our diet. Actually, you know, man has all the five elements, and even justice has been based on that principle. You would probably find and find in our various scriptures that if you kill a man, then the punishment for that sin is life for life. But if we kill a quadruped, then we have to pay, say, a few $100. Again, if you kill a bird, you might have to pay only a few dollars. But if you kill some insects, or you take off some vegetables from a field, you will generally be allowed to go scot-free, or at the most you might have to pay a few cents. So even from that angle, if we are to live in this world, let us live with the least possible sin, because this has been proved by science, particularly biology, that while we keep our body going by taking any kind of diet, we have to indulge in destruction of some life. And if we are to indulge in destruction of some life, let us restrict our living so that we are able to destroy the least possible life. And that is the life having only one element. This is the scientific explanation for being a vegetarian against being a meat eater.
And it's a matter of gradual withdrawal.
Yes, a wrong idea and a misunderstanding that vegetables do not give us proper food value. Now, I have myself been in touch with the best nutrition research makers in India, and they tell me that vegetarian diet can give us the necessary calories for keeping us going. Actually, you know, till a few years back, the only complaint that they had was that we are not getting proper proteins. But the latest research have shown that we can get even the proper amount of proteins and the required calories of proteins through cheese, through milk, and through some other options. So vegetarian food is a wholesome food, and this pretext, which was by taken, which was being taken by some people, that vegetarian diet is not sufficient to keep us going, that has proved to be wrong. The fact is that vegetarian food is as wholesome and as nutritious as any other diet. And this has been proved by our scientists and biologists in modern times.
How can these spiritual teachings help the world situation?
Despite all our material progress, the world that is at the edge of a precipice, with all these hydrogen bombs, one wrong step and the mankind will fall into the abyss of complete devastation and annihilation. Before controlling our own selves, we have tried to control the forces of nature. Had we perfected our own selves first, our material progress would have been used for the benefit of humanity, to pass successfully through any walk of life. We should have control over our mind and senses. It is from them that all our troubles arise. The great master, Sant Kripal Singh Ji, was often asked how we can establish lasting peace in the world. His reply was very simple. He said, if kings rise above kingdoms and priests above isms, there would be lasting peace. He did not teach any ism. He presented religion as a science. He would say, if you are a Christian, be a true Christian. If you are a Sikh, be a true Sikh. If you are a Hindu, be a true Hindu. We can only do this when we lead ethical lives and live according to moral values. Only then we fully understand the meaning of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. All religion command us to love our neighbors, even our enemies. We are all brothers and sisters in God, so we should love each other, irrespective of our differences in religious beliefs, color, or social standing. If we do this, then the kingdom of God can come on earth. This can be achieved only through the grace and compassion of a living saint who has solved the mystery of life and death and can help others to do so.
Is it possible, with what you just said, for a Christian to also follow along with you, the Master?
Yes, because our path is a scientific path. We present spirituality only as a science. If a Christian comes, he is always asked to become a true Christian and to follow the teachings of Christ. We are ourselves following the teachings of Christ and of all others, prophets and saints who have blessed this earth from time immemorial. So we practice religion only as a perfect science. We do not dabble with this exoteric form. We only deal with the esoteric form, which is first
having a base of ethical life, and having got that base, then we need the boost of a living master who can transport us from the earthy to the heaven heavenly.
What does it cost to follow the path of a master?
Spirituality, like all other gifts of nature, is bestowed free of charge to the seekers of the truth. A true master always earns his own livelihood and does not accept any offering for his disciples. So, we have absolutely no caste so far as following the path of the masters is concerned.
What is the relationship between the master and his disciples?
The relationship between the master and the disciple is one of selfless love. The master guides the footsteps of the disciple in this world as well as the hereafter. He assists the disciple till the latter has reached the final spiritual destination and attained communion with the Almighty. The disciple in turn is moved by a spirit of complete dedication, complete self-surrender, and implicit obedience towards his master. He emulates the ideal life of his master with a view to imbibe his godly virtues.
How long will a disciple stay with his master before moving on and going out into the world to help other people?
You know, we cannot fix any time limit, because it all depends on the evolution of the soul of the disciple concerned. Some of the disciples, they are very much evolved already on the spiritual path, and the moment they come to a master's strength, they can make very quick progress. But others who are not so spiritually evolved, are who doesn't have the same zeal and passion for this path, naturally take their own time.
Can you describe for us a little bit of your work here in the States, what you'll be doing here?
Yes, I arrived in this great country on the 28th of last month. Since then, I've been having spiritual sittings in the mornings, which is the practical aspect of spirituality. And we have been having lectures in the afternoons, and during the day until late at night, I've been meeting all those who are interested in the spiritual path and answering to their queries. So this path of spirituality is more a path of actual practice. So we have been giving great emphasis on the spiritual sittings in the mornings, in which all those interested, they are giving necessary instructions, and they are asked to sit in sweet remembrance of the Lord of Lords and come in contact with the light of God and music of the spheres, and through these two boons come upon the body consciousness. Once they have come about the body consciousness, then according to the mystics, there are two stages. The first stage is known to be merged in the master, which is known in mysticism to be Fnafil Shaykh. Fnafil Shaykh literally means merged with the master. And then, through the grace and compassion of the living teacher, we go across the inner stages and ultimately we merge in God. And that is, in mysticism, is known to be Fnafilla, which again means merging in God. That is the ultimate stage of eternal bliss, tranquility, peace, intoxication, ecstasy. And that is the ultimate stage when a drop merges in the ocean and becomes the ocean of our consciousness. That is the stage, the ultimate stage, when a drop, when a ray merges in the sun and becomes the sun.
Going back to eating, some of the practices which are necessary in order to follow the path, one of them being a vegetarian diet.
Yes.
When you talk of a vegetarian diet, are you talking of the processed vegetables which we can get, or are you talking about the natural foods which are sold, let's say, in this country in the natural food store? Is it necessary to be clean of chemicals which are on the food?
Yes, you know, when we talk of the vegetarian diet, we talk of vegetables, and we prefer to have vegetables direct from the natural sources. If possible, we would avoid all the vegetables being contaminated by the so-called chemicals. And this contamination, I'm using this word not as something derogatory to the use of the modern science for the benefit of humanity at large, but I'm using it only because it detects much from the vegetables which come directly from the natural fields.
Are there any centers in this country where people can get in touch with what you're saying and find out more about?
Yes, there are centers in all the big cities in the states. And besides the states, we are centers throughout European countries. In fact, we have as many as 217 centers in Europe and USA. And in addition to these 217 centers, we have about 90 centers for the length and breadth of India.
Can you describe the evolution of the practice of which you're talking with people about, the original founders of it, and how it has evolved to its present day, with you being a living master?
You know, the evolution of the practices that we follow but the elevation of the soul started as far back as about 5,000 years BC. And the path of the light of God and the music of the spheres that had been followed by our prophets, our saints and seers, since then. Actually, In all our scriptures, starting with the Vedas, we have been reading about the path of light and the harmony of harmonies. And from there, we were following the same path in the Vedic age. Then it was followed by Buddha, by Mahavira, by Christ, by Muhammad, by Guru Nanak, and by all the Gurus, and of all the Gurus, by Swami Shivdayal Singh Ji of Agra, by Baba Jamal Singh Ji, by His Holiness Sant Kripal Singh Ji, and now I am continuing the same path, but it got its own special attention during the time of Guru Nanak and Kabir Sahib, because that was the time when we had started the bhakti movement in India. And so under the bhakti movement, a special emphasis was laid on this path of light of God and music of the spheres. And since then, that emphasis has been continuing. But in reality, we are following the same path as our path by the great Vedas.
Do you have anything that you'd like to say in closing, something which may help us, those of us who are listening through our day?
We should all not only profess, but we should practice having love and affection for all human beings, and not only for all human beings, but for the entire creation of God. Because if we develop real love for the entire creation of God, then the question of any struggles, the question of any disparities will not arise. And once we have learned to sit together as brothers and sisters in the same God, then we'll have eternal peace, eternal bliss, eternal tranquility, eternal ecstasy, eternal intoxication, and eternal salvation, as we call it. And if we are able to achieve this end, then we would have ensured of the kingdom of God coming on this earth, because we'll have a universe which will be full of love, full of affection, full of compassion, and we'll have love, humility, and ethical life as our basis. So we must have an ethical basis constituting love for the entire creation. Humility first, humility second, and humility last. Chastity and purity. Because pure, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And besides these,
we should get rid of our ego. Because man's ego is at the root cause of all our struggles, of all our afflictions, and of all the wars that we have in this world. Only if we would recognize from the core of our hearts the equality of all mankind, we will not try to encroach upon the rights of others, and we will be radiating love and compassion wherever we go. And if we are able to achieve this object, then there will be end of all wars, end of all struggles, end of all conflicts, and we'll have peace and bliss everywhere. And that, I think, should be the be-all in all our lives. This is a path in which we don't have to play our part in isolation. It is not a solo play. We must have a community feeling, and we should all work for the good and benefit of all others amongst us. Here, we should play our proper roles in an orchestra so that we have the symphony of love, the symphony of peace vibrating throughout the universe.
Thank you, Master.